You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. It seems like we've been running economic numbers for weeks now. Just a quick look at the markets this morning. OPEC, you may have heard, has declared an emergency meeting to discuss supply and production cuts to support the price of oil. The market answered it this morning with a $3 a barrel price decline. Oil is trading way down at about $70 a barrel. So take that, OPEC. Anyway, if you're doing the numbers as a political operative, you're looking at the electoral map. 270, that's the number, the magic number. It's the minimum number of electoral votes that the winning presidential candidate needs to take the White House. And one influential political blogger is predicting that the Obama campaign's push in crucial swing states may very well help him win at least 270 electoral votes. In fact, the polls may show that Obama already comfortably has that 270 electoral votes. And you can play the electoral vote game at home courtesy of websites like 538.com. And joining us as a blogger for the electoral projections blog 538.com, Sean Quinn in Charlottesville, Virginia. Sean, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's divide up the map. I mean, I'm used to thinking about the southern block and the western block and the northeastern block and the far west block, and the blue and red state allegiances are fairly clear in traditional terms. But this year, everything's different.
Yeah, it is different this year. We see that there are states out in the west, like Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, that Barack Obama is trying to play in, that Republicans have won in the past cycle. New Mexico has always been a little close, but Nevada and Colorado are states that Republicans have been winning for some time now. They're also playing in the South. They're also playing in, you know, in the upper Midwest. They're trying, you know, they're way ahead in Iowa, for example, which Bush won in 2004. Of course, the Democrats have a stronghold in the Northeast. So the map really does look different this year than it has looked in previous years.
Question is, has the campaign actually made the map change? I mean, we had a high turnout for all the primaries in the Democratic race, decent turnout for some of the Republican primary races, although the nominee was picked much earlier. Or are the campaigns taking advantage of opportunistic shifts in demographics in these states?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, the demographic shifts have switched since 2004, when it was a little bit closer to 36-34 in favor of the Democrats nationwide. This year, it's a lot wider spread as partisan ID has moved in opposite directions. It's about a 40-30 split. And so Democrats have a big advantage there. If you have a base versus base election in this year as opposed to 2004, then the Democrats just have numerically many more people registered as Democrats. In the primaries, what you saw was the Obama campaign and the Clinton campaign went on for so long that the Democrats had a chance to organize and get out the vote operations in 48 states, which gave them a huge advantage. If you talk to the Obama people, they will tell you that the opportunity to learn from, you know, their mistakes, learn from things they did right, and put together best practices and have a bunch of volunteers and an organization ready to go in every state gave them that head start, allowed them to compete in states that traditionally Democrats haven't competed in presidential elections.
It's about experience.
And essentially, Sean, wasn't that how Barack Obama in some ways prevailed in the primaries?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you look at, for example, Obama didn't go to California more than a day and a half before he would go for fundraiser. But in terms of actual campaigning, he was only in California for a day and a half, but he went to Idaho. And if you look at the number of delegates that he was able to pick up in Idaho, it canceled out New Jersey. That campaign made some very smart choices about where to put their candidate in order to take maximum advantage of the delegate map situation. They understood the proportionality much better than the Clinton campaign did, and they set up a system where they had people in place on the ground long in advance. So by the time we got through February 5th, where the Clinton campaign expected to win and just have the race ended, what you saw was, of course, the Obama campaign ready to take advantage of 11 consecutive contests where they were already on the ground for a long time and had been organizing.
Bringing it back to today, I've seen some reports that the McCain campaign has basically lost confidence that they have chances of winning in Colorado, Iowa, and New Mexico, and that really their strategy now centers on winning Pennsylvania. Does that sound right to you?
Well, I mean, it sounds like it. I've heard the same thing, and Pennsylvania has 21 electoral votes, as do the combined states of Iowa, Colorado, and New Mexico, which all of which Bush won in 2004. So I think from the mathematical standpoint, they're thinking, well, if we can win Pennsylvania and we lose these other states, it cancels out and we're right back where we started. Now, that's much easier said than done, given that Barack Obama has a significant lead in Pennsylvania, and we haven't seen polls that have shown that race to be close in quite some time.
You know, let's look at the broad picture. You describe how if Barack Obama wins every state that John Kerry won in 2004, what's the strategy beyond that? In other words, what does he have to pick and choose from, and how attractive are those options?
Are you talking about Barack Obama's choices?
Yeah, Barack Obama's choices.
Yeah, he if you start with all of the Kerry states, you have 252 electoral votes. You need 270 to win. Now, Iowa and New Mexico, when we've traveled through these places and we've seen what's going on the ground and we've talked to the campaigns, I mean, Iowa and New Mexico, I think, are safer than even New Hampshire, and New Hampshire's pretty safe at this point. So that gets you to 264. And if you're at 264, that means that Barack Obama can win any other state, Nevada, Colorado, Virginia, Florida, Ohio, Indiana, Missouri, North Carolina, any one of those states, and he is the next president of the United States. Even Nevada, where that would result in a 269-269 tie, what would happen is the 12th Amendment would kick in, and then we'd go to the House of Representatives, but the Democrats would almost certainly prevail in that situation.
Sure. And the only soft state in the Kerry, in the 2004 Kerry tally, is Michigan, and even that looks good for Barack Obama at this point.
Well, the Republicans made a decision on the day, I believe it was the day of the vice presidential debate in St. Louis back on October 2nd, I think was when the news broke that they were pulling out of Michigan. And a lot of people who look at this map on an everyday basis thought, wow, that looked to be a likelier pickup than Pennsylvania if they were going to pick off a state. And they needed to pick off a big electoral vote state of Kerry's. If they just pick off New Hampshire, that's only four. If they pick off Pennsylvania of 21 or Michigan 17, then they have a chance to negate some of these gains that Obama's making in places like Virginia and places like Colorado, where he looks very comfortably ahead.
Is this lead for Barack Obama a sign of some broad shift in the electorate, or are we seeing a more Jimmy Carter-esque kind of one-time anomaly?
Well, I think that if you look at the right track, wrong track numbers, that in all of these polls, there's a number of pollsters doing right track, wrong track polls.
Would you explain that just before you give us your answer? What's a right track, wrong track poll?
That is a poll basically that just asks voters whether or not they believe the country is on the right or wrong track. And when you get very large country is on the wrong track numbers, and we're seeing numbers like, you know, 89%, 90%, 7% think the country's on the right track in one recent poll. That's in territory that, you know, that hasn't been seen since they started doing those kind of polls. Mm-hmm. And so that tells you that the country is very dissatisfied with the leadership right now. And that is always bad for the incumbent party. So when you have a change candidate who is as just any change candidate, any generic change candidate is going to have the wind at their backs, but especially someone who can raise the kind of money from a small donor army, put a number of volunteers that they have in place on the ground. We've seen breathtaking operations on the ground. It's beyond any. I've worked in field, and I can tell you that this is something unprecedented.
Well, Sean, talk about the technology in the few seconds before we go here. Election is historic because people can actually play this numbers game online in interesting ways. People can do the sort of calculation and play with the map in ways that they really haven't been able to. The data is available online, and also the tools for manipulating it are online. Give us some suggestions of how voters can illuminate or even ask their own questions.
Well, one of the things we bring to on our website is an explicit breaking down of each of the states and each of the state polls, and we can tell you, you know, based on our regression model, what we project for the result in November. And when you do that, you can start adding up. You can play with the electoral tallies. You can play, you know, you can, as long as you know how many electoral votes each state has, you can do the math. And we provide, for example, 10,000 daily simulations when we run our daily polling numbers, and that can tell you, for example, you know, Obama wins 319 votes exactly. 422 simulations out of 10,000, he wins 320 votes this number of times. You can look at our maps and our graphs and see okay, this is where the statisticians say the race is based on all of the numbers.
So you can take various scenarios and compare all of them and determine electoral outcomes from each one and track those almost in sort of real time, the same way, you know, David Axelrod might be or the McCain strategists are. Sean Quinn, that's fascinating. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sean Quinn is a blogger for the Electoral Projections blog, 538.com, and you can get a tracker widget for your own computer from our election website at vote2008.thetakeaway.org. All the Electoral College projections from 538.com and other media outlets on The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.